Okay, so the first topic we're going to try to discuss today is going to be the topic of Bishul Akum. So the Mishnah tells us in the second parak of the Maseches of Avodah Zarah that one is not permitted to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. So it seems to be, even assuming that the food is kosher, assuming all the ingredients are kosher, Rav HaPichein, the halacha prohibits Bishul Akum, and the pashya says that this is an Issa D'Rabban. Even though the Gemara has a Havamina, that this is an Issa D'Raisa, the Gemara rejects it, and the Gemara assumes that's only an Issa D'Rabban. However, the Gemara is not clear why the Chacham instituted this Issa. Why did the Chacham prohibit Bishul Akum? So there appears to be a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi writes that Shemi Arabel Dvar Tumeim, that we were afraid that the non-Jew may put in non-kosher ingredients. That's the reason why it's also. So clearly Rashi doesn't mean to say that this is a real chashash. If this would be a real chashash, so then this would be an issa d'oraisa. So obviously Rashi is driving at it as follows, that min haTorah, we really don't have to be concerned with this. Min haTorah, we look at it, we see, we're watching what he's putting in, it doesn't seem like he's mixing in anything, we have a mashgiach there. So min haTorah, we have nothing to be worried about. But mit derabbanan, the Chachamim said that avo b'chein, we're going to make an extra chashash, we're going to make an extra level of zahiras, but according to Rashi, the issue of Bishul Akum is rooted in Machalas Asuras proper. So Tosfos disagrees with this Rashi, and the truth is that Rashi himself disagrees with Rashi. Rashi in different places says a different reason, but Tosfos presents what's considered to be conventional wisdom within the issue of Bishul Akum, and that is that it has nothing to do with Uchas Kasheris, but rather it's a Gezeir Mishum Chaslas, that we're afraid lest it leads to intermarriage, that people are going to become too palsy-wowsy with the non-Jews, so that's going to be a problem. Because we want people to be polite, we want people to be respectful, but ad kan, the gish gvul b'davah, that a person is not supposed to become too friendly with the non-Jews in a social setting, because the gezeirah that it may come with the chasas may lead to intermarriage. So this is the presentation that Tosfos writes, and Rashi himself Taka writes this in another place in the Avodah Zarah as well, and this is how we assume halacha, that all the discussion that in the post-Rabbi Shulchan Aruch revolve around the assumption of Tosfos that the Isser of Bishul Akum is not rooted in Machalas Asuras, but rather it's a separate, distinct Gezerah, the Gezerah Mishum Chastos. This idea.
Why should the
Gezerah
be on the food itself as opposed to the activity of eating? Meaning, if the food is cooked far away, why should the Gezerah be on the food?
No, we're afraid that if I'm going to come to the non-Jew's house, they're going to make me a nice steak, so then I'm going to think, well, this guy's a really nice guy. So I'm going to come a little closer to him, so then I'm going to see he's a good cook, so his daughter must be a good cook, so I'm going to come to marry his daughter. That's the gezeirah. This idea that food sometimes leads lidei achasta, so even though this is a din midirabanan, and we find this in many, many areas of Yisurim Durabon that were instituted as Gezeirah Mishum Chasnas. This is rooted in the Chumash itself, called the Tikkun Rabbanu gained the Raisa Tikkun, that the Torah itself recognizes this reality. The Pesukim in Parshas Kisisa speak about the Karolacha v'chalta b'zivcha, that the non-Jew is going to call you to join in his offering. He's going to shecht an animal, he's going to ask you to come and join. And the Torah says, you're not allowed to do that. The Karolacha v'chalta b'zivcha. Why are you not allowed to do that? Because v'lakachtim v'nosa l'vanecha, because that's going to lead to the Chasnas. So the Torah itself recognizes this correlation between eating together with the non-Jews and coming to the Dechasnas. There is a Machlekes Rishonim, what exactly that pasuk means in Parshas Kisisa. The Karolacha v'chalta mizivcha, what was the Issa D'Oraisa, that which Bishul Akum was patterned after, what exactly was the Torah prohibiting? So it's a Machlekes the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam writes that the Karolacha v'chalta mizivcha was referring to Shechitas Akum, that if a goy shechts an animal for you, so you're not permitted to eat that animal. The Mishnah says in the first Perek Chulin, the Shechitas Akum is Nevela, and the Gemara never quotes a pasuk for it. How do you know that a goy cannot shecht? So the Rambam writes, the Mokar is from this pasuk, the Karolacha v'chalta b'zibchol, that if a goy shechts an animal, so that's like a shtickel of Avodah Zarah. It's like leading up with the Avodah Zarah. So the reason why you're not allowed to eat Shechitas Akum is not this Nevela in terms of Ilcha Shechita. It's not that there's anything intrinsically wrong with the Shechita, but the reason why Shechitas Akum is also is because also like a Gzeir Mishum Chasnas. Gzeir D'Oraisa, lest it lead l'dei Avodah Zarah, lest it lead l'dei Chasnas. That's why there are some Acharonim who suggest, but that's a Rambam, that if a goy who shechts you is a ger tosha, if he's someone who's not an Ovid of a Zara, so maybe min haTorah that wouldn't be a problem. So that's a big machlokes Acharonim, whether the Rambam would have said that far. But according to the Rambam, the Yisr of Shechitas Akum is also rooted in this idea of a Karolacha v'chalta mizivcha. The Ramban is a different pshat. The Ramban says, Karolacha v'chalta mizivcha is not talking about a goy just stop shechting an animal for his own, but rather it's referring that imam is shechted l'shem of a Zara. If somebody shechts up in the shame of a Zara, that's what's called Tikrovis of a Zara. anything that was prepared for Avodah Zarah, anything that was used in the service of the Avodah Zarah, something that was presented as a gift to Avodah Zarah, that's called the Krovus of Avodah Zarah. Let's say, just for argument's sake, somebody cuts the hair of the Shem of Avodah Zarah, something just, hypothetically, so that hair would be considered to be the Krovus of Avodah Zarah. Somebody shucks an animal the Shem of Avodah Zarah, that would be called the Krovus of Avodah Zarah. So how do you know that the Krovus of Avodah Zarah is also, so the Ramban writes, that's what this pasuk is referring to. The Karolucha v'chalta b'zivcho. So there's a technical machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban, just what's taich, what's pshat in the pasuk, chumash, the Karolucha v'chalta b'zivcho. Is it referring to a general shchita zakum, or is it referring to shchita l'shem of Anazorah? But at the end of the day, everybody agrees that the pasuk is saying something about this correlation, that the Torah is telling us, you have to stay away from certain food activities with goyim, because they lead you to the Avodah Zarah. So, min haTorah, it only refers to these cases of shchita, shchita tikrovus, etc. Midrabbanan, they extended it to bishalakum. Midrabbanan, they said, any food that was cooked by a goy is considered to be also midrabbanan, gzeira mishum chastos. That's, again, now those are the guidelines in terms of what the reason for the Isser is. Either Rashi's pshat of Shemi Arbel Dvarim Tumeim, or Tosis pshat of gzeira mishum chastos. Is there enough gemina ladina between the two? So some achronim have the following chiddush. What would the din be? Let's say a Jew cooks for you, but the Jew happens to be someone who is dino ka'akum. How does a person get that title of dino ka'akum? So the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Chulin that if a person is a mumah l'chala terakula, if a person violates all the dini Torah, so then they're considered to be dino ka'akum vis-a-vis hilchos shechita. Such a person cannot shech, the vis-a-vis stam yenom that we showed him in on. If he touches wine, the wine becomes treif. So there's a din of a mumah l'chala terakula. Then the Gemara is a chiddush, that a person can become a mumah l'chala terakula in two other ways as well. Either if a person is a mumah l'avodah zarah, or if a person is a mumah l'chala shabbos b'for hesya. So if a person, let's say, is a mumah for other mitzvahs, a person doesn't eat kosher, a person violates lashon hara, or a mumah l'lashon hara. So you become a mumah l'davar echad, but we pask it, the mumah l'davar echad is not a mumah l'chala terakula. With the exception of these two, of avodah zarah and shabbos, and the reason being that these things are considered to be acts of kfira. Avodah Zarah is mamash an act of kfira in the Rabban Shel Olam, and Chil Shabbos, Rashi and Chulin writes, is also an act of kfira, because it's an act of being kofed by Sibarishis, and being kofed by the Rabban Shel Olam is the Berish of Maivaretz, so that also constitutes an act of kfira, and therefore you become a mumar b'chala tarakula. So let's say in other mitzvahs, you can say, a person can say like this, a guy wears shatnez, he doesn't, he's not so careful about shatnez, but he's very machped about other mitzvahs. So in other mitzvahs, he's still considered to be a regular full-fledged Jew. He shouldn't be the guy who checks shatnez for you. He doesn't have that manos to check shatnez for you, but he's still considered to be a kosher Jew, the guy be all other mitzvahs. You can't say like this. The guy's going to say that I'm basically a Shomer Torah mitzvah, but I'm Ovid Avodah Zarah. So that's nothing. You can't say I'm basically Shomer Torah mitzvah, but I'm a Chal Shabbos. That's impossible. So if you have a guy who's a Muma, either a literal Muma L'Chal Torah Kula, or a Muma L'Avodah Zarah, or a Muma L'Chal Shabbos for Hesya, so he becomes a Muma L'Chal Torah Kula. So the Shaila Pischa Shuba quotes is, what would it din be? If such a person cooks food for you, would that be a problem? Bishal Akum. So would we say that he's an Akum? He's Dinuk Akum. So just as a Dinuk Akum, Peshchita and Stam Yenem and Erevin, so he should be Dino Ka'akam vis-a-vis Hilchos Bishul Akam as well. So the Chorinim write that L'chari, that should depend on the two reasons, the Machlekes Rashi and Rashi. If you hold like Rashi that Shemi Arbel Dvarim Tumeim, so it makes a lot of sense, the same Chashash of Shemi Arbel Dvarim Tumeim that applies to a guy should apply to this guy also. So even if there's a Mashkiach watching the person, if there's no Mashkiach, then of course it's a problem. You can't trust the guy of Machal Shabbos. If a guy is Mechal Shabbos, he can't be the Mashgiach, he can't own a restaurant without having a Mashgiach there. So if you have a Mechal Shabbos before Hesya, but there's the Jew standing there watching him cook, according to Rashi, that'll still be a problem because the Gezeir of Shem Yarbo Devarim today, it makes sense for this guy as well. Rashi Enkei, according to Tosfos, if the whole Gezeir is Mishum Chastos, Lamais, you're allowed to marry this guy's daughter. He's still considered to be Jewish. Let's say you have a person who becomes a Mumul Avodah Zarah. So if a guy becomes a Mumul Avodah Zarah, he doesn't lose his Kedushas Yisrael. We paskin that he still has full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael. Let's say he's Mekadosh Anisha. So the halacha is the Kedushin is Chal. So a person is a Mumul Chal Tarakula, that means he's a Mumar vis-a-vis Hilcha Shechita, Tzlam Yenim, etc. But his Kedushas Yisrael is still there. So in terms of Hilchas Ishas, he's still Dino Ki Yisrael. There's a Ramah that writes in Yeradeya that there's a minhag when a person becomes an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, now they want to be Chozer B'tshuva, there's a minhag that the person should go to the mikvah as a demonstration of the fact that they're being Chozer B'tshuva. It's like a make-believe geirus, but it's not a real geirus. He doesn't need a real geirus. He's still Kedushas Yisrael. There's nothing you can do that can be mafkiya your Kedushas Yisrael. It's just a minhag b'alma. So I've told all this story in the past, probably heard the story a few times, about the once I was speaking out of town many years ago, I was giving a shiur b'duchos geirus. So just in passing, I quoted this minhag of the Ramah, that if a person becomes an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, now he wants to become full again, so he should go to the mikveh as a demonstration of tshuva. So there was an older fellow who came up to me after the shiur, and he said he wants to speak to me for a minute. So it was a shiur, it was like right before mincha, on Shabbos afternoon, and it was right after mincha, he came over to me, they were going down to Shal Shulah, so it was 5 minutes before shkia. So I put on my watch, I said, okay, you have 1 minute. So I didn't say that, this is that lashon, but I wanted to get the conversation over with quickly. So he says, he has to tell me a personal story. So you should know as a klal gadol, when a person comes up to you after a shiur about geirus and they have a personal story to tell you, you know it's not going to be 1 minute. It's going to be a long, long megillah. So he starts telling me a whole story about his background, how he was born Jewish. I guess I breathed a sigh of relief. That's always a step in the right direction. So he was born Jewish. But when he became when he was a young man, so his parents converted to become Christians, and he didn't know anything. He was a kid, so he converted along with them. So he was a practicing Christian for 30 years. So then he realized that he was Jewish, and he was closing the tshuva. Now he's Shabbos Shabbos, and he goes to Daf Yomi and everything. So he's telling me everything is great. Baruch Hashem, everything's gevaldik in his life right now. So I said, what does he want from me besides that I just missed shkia for Shal Shul? So what's the punchline? So he says to me, Rabbi, is it true that I have to go to the mikvah because I was once a practicing Christian? So here I thought, he was about 85 years old. So I figured he probably feels so terrible that if I didn't go to the mikvah, if I think he's not Jewish anymore. So I said to him, no, don't worry. I said, of course you're Jewish. There's no question, just the custom. You know, it's a nice thing to do. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, if you want to do it, do it. But it's not the end of the world. So he looks at me and he says, Rabbi, I just wanted to hear what you had to say, because 50 years ago the rabbi told me how to go to the mikvah, and I wanted to make sure that rabbi knew what he was talking about. So that's why I missed Shal Shulis, because he had to make sure that the rabbi from 50 years ago knew what he was talking about. So the din is that the guy is kaddish because Kedushas Yisrael, whether he went to the mikvah or didn't go to the mikvah.
We assume that Christianity is a bazaar.
For a Jew it is, yeah. For a Jew it is. Yeah, for Goyim it's machlekes the Ramban and Yehuda had to reap Shana Taisus, but for Jews, for sure it's a bazaar, because it's cheetah, because it's a partnership. So getting back to the story, so the halacha is that if a person is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, or is a Mumon Chol Terakula, he doesn't lose his Kedushas Yisrael. So according to Tosfos, it would be ludicrous to make a Gezeirah B'Shem Ben Oseim. You're not allowed to marry his daughter, you're allowed to marry his daughter, you're allowed to marry him, you're allowed to marry his wife, whatever, they're considered to be a Jew. So what you have to make a Gezeirah B'Shem Chassos on such a person? So that should be enough Kamin Aladin. According to Rashi, it's a gezeira that anyone who's dino ka'akom, so we're cheshe shemi arbo dvarm tmeim, that would be a problem of bishul akom, even if he's technically Yisrael, if he's a mumar. Mashenken, according to Taisus, that wouldn't be a problem. So we pass in the halach like Taisus. The minhag was like Taisus. Nobody's cheshe. Nobody that I know is cheshe for this. We assume that if you have non from Jews who will cook a few in the kitchen, that's all right. As long as you're makbid on the mashgiach, as long as there's some way of monitoring the kashrus, the fact that it's a Jew who's doing the actual cooking, so that would not be a problem of the shalakam. Even though, of course, the Rashi would be a problem, I think the minhag is to be made on the shalom. The Rishonim work with the assumption that this gezeirah is mishum chasnas, and now a whole bunch of shailas come up which revolve around this chashash of chasnas. So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah in the second parak raises the following question: Does this iser of bishalachim apply only in a non-Jew's home, or does this even apply in a Jewish home or in a Jewish establishment? So Tosfos quotes one opinion in Bali Tosfos that maintains Rabbeinu Avram, who maintains that it would not be a problem. Bishalakam only applies with Vesa Akam, and the reason makes a lot of sense, that since the whole chashash is a chashash of chasnas, so that means when the guy invites you to his house and he cooks me up a nice steak, so that's going to lead chummy chummy. But if the guy's coming, I'm making a kiddush, and the guy's coming to cook in my house, so then why would that be a chashash of chasnas? So therefore, one day Taisa says, the whole list of Bishalakam doesn't apply. If that day of Taisa would be correct, then we can end all the Bishalakam Shurim and move on to the next topic, because when do we ever go to eat by Goyim in Goyim's house? It came out unheard of. So all of our Bishalakam Shahs happen in our homes, in our restaurants, in our catering establishments, so we would never have a problem with Bishalakam according to that day in Taisa. But the bad news for us is that we don't pass like that day in Taisa. Rabbeinu Tam rejects it, and that's how we pass in Halacha. The Pashas, we don't accept that. We pass like Rabbeinu Tam. that it was a light plug, that it was across the board, that the Chachamim and the Institute of the Yisrael B'Shalachim, so even in the Beis Yisrael, they were concerned that things, even though maybe one could have argued logically, maybe the Yisrael wouldn't apply, it doesn't matter, the Yisrael applies, it's a low plug, that they asked B'Shalachim, even in a Jewish establishment. So that's generally how we pass it. We'll come back to it a little bit later. Sometimes we fall back a little bit on that first day in Tosfos, it's a sniff lahokal, it's a snake snake, there's another shilas. But in normal halacha, we assume that the halacha is like Rabbi Natan, that B'Shalachim applies even in Beis Yisrael. There is a second suggestion that some Rishonim have, which would, if it would be correct, would be a tremendous kula in terms of Bichus B'Shalachim, and that's the issue of what the Rishonim coined the phrase, the Avadim of Shvachah Shal Yisrael. What would the halacha be if the person who's cooking for you is a non-Jewish help? It's not a non-Jewish friend, but it's a non-Jewish worker for you. Excuse me, such as an Eved or a Shivcha, would that be a problem of B'Shalachim or not? So there are three different opinions in the Rishonim. What's the status of Avadim U'Shvachos in terms of B'Shalachim? So there's one opinion in the Rishonim that maintains that Avadim U'Shvachos are not a problem of B'Shalachim for the following reasons. That an Eved or Shivcha are basically an extension of the Jew. It's considered to be like Yad, the quote for Yad Eved Yad Rabo Dami, that Kol Mashikon Eved Kon Rabo, that the Eved is considered to be like an extension of me. How do I know that the Eved is an extension of me? So the Pasuk says, that my Eved is not allowed to work for me on Shabbos, not allowed to work in general, my Shivcha is not allowed to work on Shabbos, so they're considered to be like me. So when the quote unquote goy, when this Eved Kenani cooks for me, the Shivcha Kenani cooks for me, so that's considered to be like I'm cooking, so it's not considered to be B'Shalachim. If that reason is correct, then that would be very, very limited in scope. That would only apply to someone who is halachically an Eved Kenani or a Shivcha Kenanis. In order to become an Eved Kenani, a Shivcha Kenanis, it's not enough that the person is working for me. It's not enough that I made a kinyan mamon on the person, but I have to. The person has to undergo a process called a kinisa l'shem avdus l'shem shivchos. How do you go about doing that? So that's the same way that a person is megayer. That's how a person becomes an Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis. The Rambam coins the phrase in Hilchos Isuribia that the status of an Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis is like a mitzvah kedushas Yisrael. So the Rambam, the halacha is that just as to be nichnas to kedushas Yisrael, you require mila utvila. So too, to become a kedushas Eved Kenani, you have to have mila utvila. For a woman, has to have tevila. And there's another halacha that after an Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis becomes freed, so then they become Jewish. So they have to be mashlim the geirus. They have to finish up the geirus and do a second tefillah as well. So there are two different tefillahs that take place whenever Kenai. There's a tefillah Rishona at the time of becoming a kinis of Avdus, and then there's a tefillah Shniyah at the time when they leave the state of Avdus. So that second tefillah is a machlokes Rishona, whether that's their Ra'is or their Rabbanan. So some Rishonim, the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef and Yevamos Ra'is, that second tefillah is only mid the Rabbanan. And Tais and the Rambam say no, that the second tefillah is mamash din midaraisa. But everybody agrees that the first tefillah is midaraisa. That's no question. You're taking a goy and you're transforming a goy to becoming an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani is chayav mitzvos keisha. An Eved Kenani has real din of Yisrael to him. You're not allowed to marry him. That's a different story. But he has certain conditions to Yisrael, a certain degree of conditions to Yisrael to him. So according to all Rishonim, that original tefillah is a real din midaraisa. The second tefillah may be the Raisa Derabbanan, but the first tefillah is for sure tefillah mid the Raisa. So according to the Rishonim, who say that the reason why there's no B'Shalachim on Avadim U'Shvachos is because the person is considered to be, like by extension, is considered to be an Eved Gom or Shivcha Kenanis Gemura, so that would only be true if the person was Nichlas to this quasi Kedushas Yisrael. If they toiveled and mild the shame Avdos, so then there would be no B'Shalachim on such a person. So if that's the reason, if that's the mahalach, then this clearly doesn't apply. B'zman is that we don't have any Avadim Kenayim anymore. We don't have any Shivcha Kenayim anymore. It's against the law. You're not allowed to have an Avdus. I don't know if the law is against the law. It's also against the law. But in America, it's against the law. It's Abraham Lincoln, Emancipation Proclamation, January 1st, 1863, So since then, you're not allowed to own an Eved anymore. So that's it. You can't have an Eved Kenayim anymore. There is a machlokes, the dean of the postkim. Can you have a quasi Eved Kenayim B'zman hazeh? Why would anybody want to have an Eved Kenani or a Shivcha Kenanis B'zman Hazeh? So there's this famous sugya in the end of the third parak of Maseches Kedushin about Yechol Mamzerim L'Toher. That if you have a person who's a Mamzer, so the guy's going to be stuck. So even Mamzer, he can't marry anybody. Even though he can marry a Gioras, it's mutter from Mechatchil to marry a Gioras, Mipaskin, but the child's still going to be a Mamzer. So how can you ever have a case that a Mamzer's kids are not going to be Mamzerim anymore? So the Mishnah comes up with a great answer. So the Mishnah says, let him marry a Shifcha Kenanis. So if he marries a Shifcha Kenanis, then the child is not Misyaches after the father. So the child is just considered to be an Eved Kenani. If the child is an Eved Kenani, that's not a great thing to be. Yeah, but you can be Mishachre the Eved Kenani. So it could turn out that the Mamza should marry a Shifcha Kenanis. His child will be an Eved Kenani. Then you can be Mishachre. He'll be a totally kosher Jew. He won't have the stigma of Mamzeris anymore. He won't be related to the father. If he did, that's true. But at least you can have a, you can create a biological child who will halachically be Jewish and won't have any psul or mamzeris. That's what the Mishnah says. Yichol mamzer li toher. Even the chachili, you're allowed to do that stunt. That's what the famous Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Tarfon says. And that then applies even with mamzer. Yichol mamzer li toher. So the poskim of Ma'orah, that if you have a person who's a mamzer and he wants to pull the stunt, so what he should do is as follows. Let's say he's only going to marry Gioris anyway. Remember mamzeris. Okay, he's only going to marry Gioris anyway. So if you have a woman who's becoming a Gioris and you think she'll be a good shidduch for him, so what you should do is like this. You should tell her, don't be Megaya totally yet. Because if you're Megaya totally, so then you can marry the moms, and then the children are going to be Mamzerim. So just become a Shifcha Kenanis first. So she's holding by going to the mikveh anyway. So become a Shifcha Kenanis first, and then they'll get married. And then after they'll get married, so they'll have as many children as they want to have. All the children will be beautiful kosher Avadim Kenanim. They'll free all the Avadim Kenanim. And then after she's passed the point of childbearing years, so then you can go ahead and be Meshachar her. So well, someone will be Meshachar, and then she'll be a regular Giora, so everything is well, to go more. Everything is shown by itself. It's a great new Eitzah. It could solve the Shidduch crisis. So I'll talk to my wife about it. So Yechol Mamzer Li Tor. That's the famous mission of the Sefer's Kiddushin. So some post from Ora, can we do this stunt as Manazeh? So Rav Moshe is the truth about this. Shailas, can you really pull off such a stunt as Manazeh? What's the problem? The problem is that it's against the law in America. So if Abraham Lincoln said it's against the law, so now is that a problem with Dina de Machusa? So can you create such a status of a Shifcha Kenanis plus Manazeh if it's against the Constitution? So maybe one can argue that Abraham Lincoln never asked this. He never in a million years dreamt about this when he freed the slaves. So he didn't mean to free the Avodim Kenanim of Kedushin of Samachas, because he meant to free the South. So maybe you can pull that this is not considered to be the Abdus that's our Abdus also according to the Constitution. So this is for the Constitution lawyers to try to figure out. Is this included in the issue or not? Would a person be locked up in jail if you try to pull off the stunt to create a Shifcha Kenanis? You're not going to work her very hard. You're not going to treat her, not going to hit her. You're not going to treat her like a Shifcha. You're going to be very nice to her. She's going to be a wife. But if he didn't, she's considered to be a Shifcha Kenanis. I don't know. It's a possibility. But we usually don't have too many Shifcha Kenanis as we have Kenanis running around today. So therefore, according to the first group of Rishonim, that the whole Heter is based on the Parsha of Eved Kenanis. Shifcha Kenanis, the Chayyur, that wouldn't be relevant this man is in. So there is a Ramban.
It also has to be assuming, like the Rishonim that say that Lelem Ham Tavoyda was only Yudin Laisachanim.
You mean what right would you have to free the Avodah? The Mishnah saying seems to say that you're allowed to. So that's the question: is why is that? So we have to say one of those reasons. Whatever the regular standard answers, they have to free an Eved is. Okay, whatever the Gesukah isn't getting enough Lamechas, whatever those answers the Rishonim give. Other Rishonim, the Ramban quotes a possibility that maybe there's a totally different head to why you're allowed to have non-Jewish Avodah Mushvachos cook for you. Nothing to do with Parsha 7 Kenani. It has to do with a different reason. What's the whole reason why Chazal asked Bishalakal Mazu Gezer Vishum Chasnas? So Chasnas means if you have a social relationship with a non-Jew. But if it's an employer-employee relationship, so the guy's not going to marry the worker. He's not going to marry the cook in the kitchen. He's only Chalila going to marry the person who's his next-door neighbor, who's a social relationship. But if it's someone who's working for you, so it doesn't mean Eved B'Shivcha in the halachic sense of a real Mekoy Eved, a real Mekoy Shivcha. It means someone who's working for you. That's also sufficient in order to override the Isser of Bishalachim. That's a different Svar Legamri. So these are two different Svaras that the Rishonim throw around in order to possibly permit Bishalachim in terms of Avodah Meshvachas. Either someone is formally an Eved B'Shivcha, so it's Yada, Eved Kiyada Rav, it's Bamashach and Eved Kenani, or do you say no, that it's Mutta based on a different reason because it's not an employee-employee relationship. Then there are other Rishonim who say the whole thing is not true. There's no such head there. Avodah Meshvachas doesn't in L'Hayu Dvar Me'olam. So how do we bask in L'Halacha? So here it becomes a little bit tricky. So we try to avoid this kula. This kula is very, very shaky, this kula of Avodah Meshvachas. Even though it's very strange, the Ramah does throw in this kula as a little bit of a sniff L'Halacha also. The Ramah writes that people used to be very makil in Bishalachom because one of the Tzadim L'Halacha was this Avodah Meshvachas kula. That means the Jews would have non-Jewish help in the house. So the Ramah writes that they used to be very makel. So he writes they used to be makel for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons was the kula of Avodah Meshvachos. And the other reason the Ramah writes is because we'll talk about this a little bit later on, that if the Jew participates in the bishul even a little bit, that's not considered to be bishul lachem. So the Ramah writes in the old days they would cook with these big stoves And very often a person would walk by and see that coals aren't working, aren't burning nicely. So people would go and stop the coals a little bit. So the Rama writes that he has to shleichat Yisrael ma'at. That means that if the guy is cooking up a whole chulin for you, so it's taking hours and hours to cook. So mistama during the course of that time, the Jew must have walked by and probably played with the coals a little bit. So the Rama's makel on many shahs of Bishalachim based on this combination that maybe it's avodah mishvachos and he has to shleichat Yisrael, etc. So the truth is that separate svar, v'yafshe shleichat Yisrael, doesn't really apply to Zman Hazem. When was the last time you guys walked by the cholent and you decided to play with the fire of the cholent? Usually don't do that. So that whole setup of cooking doesn't exist for us. So the question is, why did the Ramah fall back on this avada mushvachas? So this is very, very difficult. In Krakow in the 1500s, so they didn't have avada mushvachas. I was in Krakow in the 1500s. I was in Krakow a couple of weeks ago. So I was in the Ramah shul, so the... They were no avodah mushvachas in Krakow. They had workers, but some of them had non-Jewish workers for them. They didn't have ever Knaynis in Krakow. Sometimes people think that Krakow was such a big city. The Jewish quarter of Krakow was 3 blocks. That was it. Everything that happened in Krakow, the whole Ramah and Shulchan Aruch and the Dakti Mosh was written in 3 blocks. So I told my kids that sometimes they complain that they don't have enough room. They say the bunk is a little bit crowded or something, so we don't have room in the house. They said, imagine if your entire life you lived from, those who know math, from Rector Court to Brightwood. That's your entire existence. You're not allowed to walk. The Goyim said, you're not allowed to walk outside of the town's limits. You lived for 3 blocks your entire life. So in the days of the Ramah and Krakow, they didn't have any other Knaises anymore. They had workers, they had non-Jewish workers. And still the Ramah quotes the Svar Lahakos. So that's what the Shach points out. Then they anybody on the bunk? Yes, Tobu, they're on earlier. So that's what the Shach points out. The Ramah is a little bit difficult because the Ramah is quoting this as a sniffle hakel, even though there were no avodah mishvachos proper in the days of the Ramah anymore. And the Ramah the Daki Moshe doesn't like the other reason. The other reason that the Ramban quotes that maybe it could be making on employees and employees, the Ramah himself rejects. So why did the Ramah Shulchan Aruch all of a sudden bring back to life the svar of avodah mishvachos? So the whole thing is a very shvei part. The Lamaisa, we shouldn't really rely on this anymore. Because we're not sure, most of the Rishonim didn't buy into any of these kulas about avodah mishvachos, and even those Rishonim who accepted the kula only accepted it by real Eved Kenanis, which doesn't exist for Zman Hazeh. The only sniff of a kula that we would have as Zman Hazeh would be that version of the Rishonim that it's mutter if it's an employee, which again, most of the Rishonim didn't accept. So therefore, we're going to work with the assumption that that kula doesn't apply today. So we just suggested two possible kulas for Bishalachim. One was Beis Yisrael, so that was rejected by Rabbi Natan. The second one was Avodah Mishvachos, that was basically rejected by the later Poskim as well. So Lamaisa was still stuck with Bishalachim. So if either one of those kulas would have been good, we could have closed up shop for this year. But hopefully tomorrow we'll have to continue, assuming that we do have a real problem with Bishalachim and Manazeh. None of the kulas that we mentioned really should be followed.
If you say that the second kula on the Avodah Kanah is there, right, sir? So what does Igmar mean when it says Gamri?
When you do a condition with